My subject tonight is long-suffering. Now, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm afraid we don't exercise that much. If you know Galatians 5:22, you know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And all those categories are great. You know, we're gleeful in those categories. They're a great help. The fourth one is long-suffering. And I'm afraid none of us look upon that with much favor. Long-suffering, that sounds hard. For most of us, we are sorely tempted when something goes wrong to get kind of frothing at the mouth after a little bit. Didn't go right here, didn't go right there. Pretty soon we're reaching for a mallet to correct some pointed heads about us, you know. Well, we have to recognize that long-suffering is also part of the fruit of the Spirit. It may not be quite as, shall we say, enthusiastically received as the love, joy, peace. That all sounds great. Long-suffering, that sounds hard. Well, all of these categories are impossible unless the Spirit of God dwells within. Because they all are the fruit of the Spirit. They're not something you work up. There's not something you do because you grit your teeth and determine, you know, I'm going to be long-suffering. It doesn't work that way. If you really are long-suffering, you are drawing upon the grace that the Spirit of God gives to be tolerant with others' mistakes and delays and errors. And we can immediately find reasons for just brushing them out of the way and doing it right ourselves, forgetting that we may be causing other people to lose their sanctification in that same category because we are holding up others who are trying to get things done, and we're unaware of it. So that is a word that we need to meditate on, and we'll do so tonight. Long-suffering is part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it ought to be in our lives just as clearly as the love and the joy and the peace, which we're all pretty zealous about. In Exodus 34:6, Jehovah revealed himself to Moses as a long-suffering God. And the proclamation was, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Ah, yes, that is the way the Lord works. He is long-suffering. And when any of us stops to think, we can immediately think of things that we have delayed, things that we have hedged on, things that we have postponed. And the Lord is patient. He is long-suffering. If the Lord called us to account the first time we failed, we would have been blotted off the landscape years ago. But no, he is long-suffering, and we know it. We have experienced his long-suffering. Let's remember that that is part of the character, the nature of God, and it ought to be ours too. God commanded Moses to hew out two new tables of stone and record his law. In Numbers 14:18, that law tells us the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Yes, that is the nature of God. He is like that. He is long-suffering and of great mercy. Now, friends, we bank on that. We realize that if he is going to call short accounts, we are left out to dry. We're in a serious position. But the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy. And that's a tremendous comfort to us, to know that the Lord does not just blot us off the landscape with the first mistake we make. We've made a lot of mistakes, and he is long-suffering. Why is it that we never think of that when someone rubs our fur the wrong way? Why is it that that doesn't come to mind when somebody has made another mistake? I don't know why, but it's certainly convenient to forget. But it's something we should never forget, because there is not a day in the life of any one of us that God has not had to exercise long suffering for us. We haven't done things we should have done. We have done other things that we should not have done. And the Lord is long suffering. Friends, that is an attribute of the Spirit's power that we must meditate on. We desperately need it, and we ought to exercise it toward others. In Psalm 86:15, the psalmist says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Yes, that is the nature of God. Yes, that rings true. He treats us that way. He has been more than patient with all of us. And so the psalmist has declared a truth that we know to be evident. He is full of compassion and gracious. He's long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. That is part of his virtues, his character, that cause us to worship him, because he is so much greater than we are in those categories. But he gives us his long-suffering. He gives us his graciousness. And he isn't just counting, you know, that's once, that's twice, that's third, here's the thunderbolt waiting for you. He doesn't treat us that way. And we all know it. We know that we have blundered over and over. We've tried the infinite patience of God in the way we live and talk and act. And all of us are convicted on that score. And God is long-suffering. We know it. But sometimes we forget it. And more often than not, we forget it when we need it ourselves. Jeremiah prays in chapter 15, verse 15, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." Ah, yes. Jeremiah had a difficult ministry. He was continually in trouble with the authorities. He was thrown in prison. They tried to kill him. He lived from day to day, depending on the grace and mercy of the Lord. The very next verse, he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Yes, friends, that is what we need to do. We need to take this blessed book that we have at hand and eat what is there. That means more than just opening the page and running our eyes over the words. When you eat something, you chew it. You swallow it. You digest and absorb it. That's what he's telling us we need to do. God is long-suffering. That's not something we just tick off. Yes, that's an attribute of God. Period. No, that's the nature of God, that he is working in us. And we need to think about that and do more than just, you know, flip the page and say, yes, I've read that. No, we need to let that thought get a hold of our heart and work within us so that when others do the things that we don't want to see done, when others fail in their responsibility, our first thought is not, well, that poor bum, look at him again. But to remember, what is God saying about us? What have we forgotten to do this day? How have we failed this day, trying the long-suffering patience of God? Let's face it, friends. If he's calling accounts strictly, we wouldn't survive one day. But he is long-suffering. And we tend to look upon that as a kind of an option with us. We can be joyful, we can be, quote, loving, but long-suffering, that's far distant. But it isn't distant, because we need it from God every day. If we didn't get it, we wouldn't survive the day. The Lord Jesus touched upon this and gave us an illustration that is a profound one. In Luke chapter 13, the Lord gave us a parable, the parable of the vine dresser. A certain man had a fig tree in his vineyard, but he found no fruit on it. And he went looking for it for 3 years. Now, friends, that's a very patient vine dresser. In most cases, something doesn't bear fruit, they get the axe out and get rid of it. But here's a vine dresser who is very patient. And he says in Luke chapter 13, verse 6, he came, sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. All right, he's suggesting, let's try again. Let me cultivate around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me do all that I can to it. And if nothing works, then we'll cut it down. Now here is the long-suffering of God. He has come to us expecting fruit and not found it, again and again and again. And from our standpoint, it looks like he would be sorely tempted to get rid of such unprofitable things. But he says, no, let's give more grace. Let's fertilize it. Let's cultivate it. Let's work on it. Let's see if we can't produce some fruit. Is that what God is saying about you, my friend? Is he looking at you and cultivating and fertilizing and doing everything he can to see long-suffering in each of us? Now, that's a thought that Christians rarely have. They think, well, we need to be busy doing dramatic things, you know, playing in the limelight, but long-suffering? Yes, long-suffering is what we're talking about. The patience of God in dealing with his people. He deals with us with infinite patience. And we are so quick to cut people off, so quick to say, well, I gave him a chance. God has given us and given us and given us chances over and over and over again. We still drop the ball. We still fail to achieve his purposes. And he patiently cultivates. He patiently keeps fertilizing. He patiently keeps working us forward. Friend, we've got to recognize that this is part of the fruit of the Spirit, to realize that people don't attain perfection in this life. They don't achieve all they should. And when we look at them, we think, well, you know, we tried to help him here, we tried to help him there, and he just doesn't respond. How often have we not responded when God has been so long-suffering with us? We need to remember that. The Apostle Paul touches on this in Romans. In Romans chapter 2, dropping down to verse 4, Paul speaks to the individual who is judging others and not himself. And he says in verse 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God? Ah, yes, that's a serious thought indeed in Paul's line of reasoning. He addresses those who are quick to condemn others, but have no conscience about those same sins in their own lives. And he says, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Do you despise his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Well, that's a very serious charge indeed. Friends, we've got to look ourselves squarely in the eye there. Are we despising God's forbearance by being abrupt in our judgment of others? Are we quick to have a censorious spirit toward others and despise God's great long-suffering toward us? Long-suffering is poured out upon us, and we must be channels of blessing. We are not cisterns that just collect water. We're artesian wells that the water flows out of. And when we receive the long-suffering of God, it's got to be something like a sieve that just flows through us to others. And we're patient with others when they don't respond well. And we're long-suffering in others' ignorance and willfulness. It's too easy, friends, to get a hard-hearted attitude on this. So-and-so had his chance. Boy, I won't give him another one. That kind of a spirit can afflict anybody, but it's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. We know it is God's attribute. We depend upon it ourselves, but it's hard to let it flow through us to others. In chapter 9 of Romans and verse 22, Paul says, God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Yes, he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath. People who are hell-bound sinners, God exercised great long-suffering upon them, giving them ample opportunities, many occasions in which they could get right with him. But he is distinctly engineering all that to reach you, you who stand in his presence, you who experience his mercy and forgiveness, you who must reflect his nature of being long-suffering to other people. That does not come by nature for any of us. All of us are impatient with others. We hope for God's patience upon ourselves, but it's hard to be patient with others. God is infinitely patient with us, and we are the channel of blessing, one of those through whom God's long suffering can be imparted to people who are rebellious and sinful and not long-suffering themselves. We're in this world not just to find our way through it and get to heaven, but to be a blessing to others, to be a means of grace to others, that God's gracious long-suffering may flow through us into the hearts of others, blessing them because we're patient with them, even as God is patient with us. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's a category that most Christians never think of. They like those first three categories. They can get excited. But who's excited over manifesting long-suffering? I don't know anybody who is really sold on that idea. But we all depend on it from God. If he is not long-suffering with us, we are doomed. And we all know that. But we forget it when we have to exercise it. Remember, friends, the Spirit of God is within us to mold us, to shape us, to to the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know he is long-suffering. We have experienced that from him. But we tend to forget that is part of his nature that others need to see in us. In 2 Corinthians 6:6, Paul says, "In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit." All those virtues come to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God within is shaping us, molding us into the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And long-suffering is one of those difficult points that we tend to resist shaping on. Oh, we need it. We want it. But manifesting it is a second thing. In reality, it isn't. If we receive the long-suffering of God and the Spirit of God puts within us the character of the one who manifests that to us, that should determine how we exercise that toward others. If we receive, we must give. We are not cisterns. We are artesian wells. The grace comes in order to flow on to others. And this we must ponder carefully. We know he is like that. We know he wants us like that, too. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul exhorts believers. In verse 1, "I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." With long-suffering, yes. That's part of what we are called to exercise, part of the ministry of the Spirit that we have, forbearing one another in love. A great manifestation of the love of God. But we tend not to think about that. It's in a separate category. We experience the love of God, and in the abstract, yes, we can love everybody. But some people are not lovable. Some people rub our fur the wrong way. And it's hard to be long-suffering. But there it is. It's in the Word. And we must apply that, too, to our hearts and consciences. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "We desire that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." My, what a linkage there. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, there are Christians who may exercise some degree of patience, but joyfulness is not necessarily part of it. It's, well, we have to endure this too, so I might as well grin and bear it, you know. But with joyfulness, exercising long-suffering. That's quite a high goal for all of us. Just any kind of long-suffering is hard. Long-suffering with joyfulness? You're glad you have to be long-suffering? That takes grace. More grace than most of us exercise. But this, too, is exactly what Scripture is talking about. Put on the character of Christ. Clothe yourself with what he is like. And he is like that. He rejoices in being long-suffering. He is prepared to be patient with us. He delights in helping his people step by step when we stumble and slide and don't make much progress. He helps us anyway. Friends, that's part of our responsibility in the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Boy, Paul's perception, that was tremendous. He had so many difficulties, so much persecution, hounded about by his own countrymen, misunderstood by fellow believers, attacked wherever he went. It was a rough life. But in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Do you realize that Paul's ministry is recorded in Scripture so that we might emulate it? It is not there just to give us something to marvel at and say, well, praise the Lord, Paul was such a great person. Everything that he went through is there so that we might learn from that and in similar circumstances manifest long-suffering, patience, endurance, and keep on just the way he did, sowing the seed, cheerfully presenting the word, witnessing for the Lord. It's there to encourage us to do likewise. We must remember, friends, that the records in the Gospels and in Acts are not there just to give us historical information. They're there to show us how it's done. The Lord Jesus always did it right. We know that. You look at Acts, and boy, the apostles were doing it right. They suffered for it. They were beaten and stoned. The world hated them, but they were doing it right. And every last thing is there for our learning, that we might learn how to be in this world good witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Long-suffering is part of it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "You have known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, afflictions." Yes, it can be a long list. Timothy was an observer. He saw Paul go through all of that. He watched as Paul was beaten. He watched as he was thrown in prison. He saw the efforts and struggle that he went through. Paul knew he was an observer, and he reminds him, all that was for Timothy's benefit. Now it's Timothy's turn. Friends, all of that is here, including what Paul wrote to Timothy. It's all for our benefit now, that we might reflect the fruit of the Spirit and have that kind of patience and long-suffering with others, rather than that short fuse that is so easy to light. We're always ready to cut people off in a hurry. But God is long-suffering. We can prove it. We can testify to it. We need to show it and live it as well. In 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul says, "I charge you, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Now, there's a message to preachers. Congregations don't learn quickly. My apologies to you all. But Paul is here telling Timothy very bluntly, preach the word and do it with long suffering, because they aren't going to get it the first time you say it. Paul is speaking out of experience, and this is the experience of church work everywhere. Congregations need repetition. Repetition aids learning. Friends, this is what Scripture is doing to us. It's giving us the truth and repeating it again and again and again, so that we will learn what it is saying, so that we will apply it to our hearts and recognize, yes, this too is for me. I need to learn this. I need to have this virtue in my life. It's so easy to say, well, so-and-so needs it, and shrug it off. But that is not why it's in Scripture. Every one of these passages is in Scripture because we all need it. It is a virtue, it is a grace that every one of us must reflect, because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit molds us into this image. It is the image of Christ. Peter also referred to this. In 1 Peter 3:20, he referred to the long-suffering of God. In 2 Peter 3:15, he said the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Oh, yes, we are saved because he is so long-suffering. It's the very heart of our salvation. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter says the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ah, we have experienced that, friends. Let us become channels of blessing to others. Let's let God's long suffering flow through us to others. And the next time that you are tempted to crush that individual who is so stubborn, so ignorant, so obnoxious, remember, God has not crushed us. He is long suffering. He is patient with us, so that we would learn the fruit of the Spirit and let his grace flow through us into the lives of others who need it just as we do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us that we are impatient with others when we try thy patience so terribly. Forgive us, Lord, that we are quick to judge others, and thou art so patient with us. Holy Spirit, we ask thee to impart to us indeed these qualities of blessed character that our Lord has in perfection. Give us our share, Lord, by thy grace. Give us long suffering and patience, and give us the grace to share it with others and encourage them to follow thy leading. For Jesus' sake. Amen.